Now, we've been looking at the book of 1 Corinthians, and there's so much in there that is so practical to our daily lives that helps us. Remember, Paul wrote this letter to the church of Corinth. And this letter he wrote to the church of Corinth was out of love for those individuals of that church. He wanted those individuals to catch a glimpse of his heart and what he wanted them to do and how he wanted them to live. He knew that many in that church were struggling because the church of Corinth was in this city that was a wicked city. Much was happening, and some of that was coming into the church. And he says, church, you need to be careful. Out of love, I write these truths to you because I want to see you prosper and mature in the things of God. And as we've taken time the last several months, we've been looking through some of these principles and truths. The last few weeks, we've been looking at the thought, going back to chapter 9, in chapter 9, about letting us and running a race well. Doing what we need to do. We are in a race. We're to run it, and we're to run it well. Remember, Paul uses illustrations. And today, as we get into this, Paul is even going to use another illustration to illustrate the point that we must run a race well that is set before us and how we're to do this. Now, last week, we looked at the thought of to God be the glory. We looked at the thought of God getting the glory in everything. Remember, Paul says, you have the freedom. You have the liberty to do certain things. But your freedom and your liberty is given so you can glorify God with your life. The reason you've been saved, the reason you've been set free, the reason God's done what he's done in your life is not so you can live your own life, have your own rights, have your own freedoms, but you have those freedoms, you have those rights, so you can please God with all that you have and run your race well that you're running and finish it well. Now we come into a portion of Scripture. Look at verse 33. I want to read this of chapter 10. It says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul's primary goal was to be a testimony so others would come to God, come to a saving knowledge of him. And he says, that's what my liberty's for. That's what my freedom's for. Remember, Paul lived out what he was telling them to do. Paul even gave an illustration and told them, hey, because of the farmers, because of this and all these things, and I had the right to be able to take certain things, but I set the example for you by not taking it. I had the freedom to eat meat, but if I don't want it, if it's going to offend someone else, I'm not going to eat the meat. I'll go without meat forever. Remember, we looked at that. Now we come to this point in chapter 11. We start to come to a portion of Scripture in chapter 11 that is considered one of the most controversial portions of Scripture according to our world today. All right? I don't think it's controversial, but according to our world, it's a controversial topic. We're going to approach in a principle that is given in regards to God's design. Now, Paul addressed this here. Paul also addressed this in Ephesians. Paul also addressed this to other churches through other letters, this area of God's design. Now, as we come to this, Paul starts off with verse number one. Last week, we ended with verse one. We didn't do much teaching on it. We ended with it because it ties what we just looked at, to God be the glory, to what we're going to get into this morning. And as we look at this, Paul gives us a reminder before the principle that he's going to give. And we're going to look at that reminder first this morning. And then, Lord willing, if we have time, we're going to get into this principle that is given here. But Paul gives a reminder to them so they understand their mindset and what their mindset ought to be in regards to the principle he's going to give in regards to God's design. Do you know the way God has designed things has been from the beginning? God has ordained and purposed a plan and has put things together. Everything that has been put together is not by accident. It's not by coincidence. It's by God, and God has a specific purpose and plan for everything. And God knows what needs to happen so everything will work out according to His perfect will in that perfect way so God will get the honor and glory. What happens is we understand that there's God's design, but we try to do what we want to do, and we don't want to do it God's way. And we don't want to follow God's design. And it creates issues in our homes, in our churches, and in our society. God has a design. The topic we're going to get into this morning, possible, if we get that far, is this idea of the role of the man and the role of the lady in the home. The role of the man in society and the role of the lady in society. The role of the man and the role of the lady in a local church. See, you remember, Paul is answering in these chapters we've been looking at questions that those in Corinth were asking. Now, these weren't always the most mature believers. We've seen that. But they had a desire to grow, and as they had a desire to grow, they asked Paul questions. And Paul answered those questions. Starting in chapter 6, he started answering some of those questions. And he started giving some of the teachings. Remember, Paul pastored this church for about 18 months. And then now he's gone, but he still has a heart for this church. And he's teaching them, and he's reminding them of some truths that he taught when he was there. But Paul's now going to get into a subject that he has not taught them yet. And we'll see that as we get into this. If you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse number 1 with me. We'll start in there. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that I remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances that I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, by all things of God. Judge in yourselves, it is comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her a covering. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that as we look at this portion of Scripture, you would truly illuminate your Scriptures to us. Help us understand the principles and the truths you want us to glean. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. God's design. Now, the first point I want us to see, the first area I want us to see, before he gets in the principle, he gives us a reminder before the principle. Verses 1 and verse 2 of this chapter, Paul gives us a reminder before we get into the principle. Now, I believe many times the reason we are given these reminders before we're given a truth is so we have the right mindset and we have the right focus before God gives us what he wants to instruct us about. Because if I go in it in a human way, with my human thoughts, my human philosophy, when I look at the principle that we're going to cover in verse 3 and verse 4 and be taught throughout this portion of Scripture, we will not want to listen to it. We want to say, well, this doesn't make sense to us. This can't be true. This can't be right, this principle. Well, why would God design it this way? This doesn't make sense to me. And Paul knew that under inspiration of God, that the people had to have the right mindset before he could teach this principle that he's going to teach. I want us to understand this morning, we have to have the right mindset when we approach the Word of God so we understand why God is doing things the way God does it. Because we might not always agree with or understand with what God says. But if I have the right mindset, it doesn't matter the way I look at it. It doesn't matter the way I think about it. It doesn't matter that I have the right mindset. So if this is what God says, I'm going to follow and do what God wants me to do. We got to have that right mindset. This is why Paul gives this reminder so they're on the same page. If we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit in our lives and we're doing what God wants us to do, God's word makes sense to us. Because it comes from God. And we want to what? Glorify God in everything we do. Let's look at this reminder. Verse number 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul encourages them, follow me as I follow Christ. What does that do? It does a couple things I want you to see this morning. I want you to get this morning. This is what Paul is telling them. First and foremost, the instructions or the principle that I'm about to give you is not just coming from me. It's not just coming from the customs of that day. The principle that I'm giving you is coming from the Lord. Because as you follow me, I'm following the Lord. My purpose is to follow God, glorify God, and the principle that I'm going to give you is not just from me. It comes from God. This is a principle that's taught throughout Scripture. It's taught throughout since the beginning of Adam and Eve, and it's taught throughout the Word of God and carried out. What I'm going to give you is not just what man says. What I'm going to give you comes from the Lord. We need to be reminded this morning as we look at the truth of God's Word. It doesn't come from a man. It comes from God. This is God's truth. This is God's word. These are the principles God wants us to glean. This is God's way of doing it. It's not man's way of doing it. We have to realize this is what God wants us to get a hold of and apply to our hearts and life. Thus saith the Lord God. And we need to take God's word, apply God's word, and live out God's word in our life. And this is the principle that he's giving them. But he says, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. It comes from God. But there's an example given. That word follower means imitator. Paul says, I want you to understand, you're to imitate me. But you only imitate me as I imitate the Savior. A lot of times in our lives, we will follow people. And we say, well, we're going to follow them. And there's some good role models. But let me tell you, there's some good, not so good role models out there. There's some people that call themselves Christians and believers that you should follow. And there's some people that call them Christians and believers that you should not follow. Because what the purpose is, you don't follow a man. You follow a man that is following God. And ultimately, you're not following the man. You're following who? You're following God in your life. That's who you follow. I want to be honest this morning. I try to make sure that I live right. I do right. I'm not perfect. I confess it, I get it right, and I move forward for the glory of God. But let me tell you, please don't just follow me. You follow Christ. Because I'm a man. I can fall. But you guess who can't fall? God can't fall. I want you to follow your husband. But guess what? Your husband is just a man. Rex is a sinner, saved by grace. And guess what? As much as Rex tries to live for God, he's not going to be perfect. Girls, is your dad perfect? Be honest. I want to hear a big amen. He's not perfect. All right. But he's a man. You follow your dad, you follow their leadership as long as they're following after God. And that's what Paul is saying. You follow me as I follow the Lord. Again, Paul was not perfect. But Paul strived to live a testimony. Paul strived to be an imitator of Christ. He strived to do those things. We have to remember this principle. Before we get into the principle he's given here, we got to remember this truth is what? That you need to live for God and follow God and God's word and God's pattern and God's principles. Why would Paul tell them this before he gives the principle? Because in that day, there was much teaching that went contrary to the word of God. We know that there was, in the temples, prostitution. We know that wickedness was running rampant in all around them and all around there. That was happening. There was many that would say they're religious and say that they were of God and say they were of this and would get people to try to follow the way they're doing things. And Paul says, I want you to understand what I'm telling you comes from God. What I'm telling you is you need to follow my example as I follow the Lord, but ultimately follow the Lord's example, live out the principles and the precepts and the truths that he's giving. Because the purpose of your life as a blood-bought child of God is to follow the teachings of God. Now, I understand in our world today, there are many that say God's way of doing it is old-fashioned. The principle we're going to look at, people will say, that's old-fashioned. We need to get in the 21st century, preacher. We need to get relevant. We need to get updated. It's no longer that way anymore. It's no longer that way of doing it. But do you know if we're following Christ, God's way has never changed? God's design is still the same. God's principle is still the same. And we need to be imitators of Christ. It says, be followers of me even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I deliver them to you. I want you continually to keep. That word keep means to hold fast, to grip tightly the ordinances. And the ordinances are the things that I've taught you, the things that have been given to you by word of mouth. What I've given you, what I've taught you, I want you to grip solid. I want you to grip a hold of and don't waver and stay true to the word of God. You know what Paul said to them? He's reminding them. He goes, I've given you ordinances, I've given you truths, I've given you teachings that you need to grip a hold of and don't waver in those teachings. Do you know as we come to church, as we read our Bibles, as we have our devotions, as we're taught these things, there are ordinances, there is truths, there's doctrine, there's principles that we've been given. There's things that you've been told by your mother, by your father, by your grandparents. There's truths from God's word that you've been given that you need to grip a hold of and don't lose grip of it. Stay true to it. Don't waver from the truth of the word of God. I tell you, this generation is wavering because there are principles that have been given and passed from generation to generation and ordinances that have been passed and taught that we're not remembering and we're not holding to. The Bible says to hold fast. We're to hold tightly to. What's some ordinances? What's some principles? The main one that we're going to address is in regards to the home. The home is under attack today. Now, I understand back in that day, and we're going to look at as we get into this, the woman was viewed in a different light. And then what happened is, when they were got their freedom, their liberty in Christ, they took that and they used it to the other extent. They were this way, and then they got saved by the blood of Christ, and their life was changed, and they had freedom, and they'd go from here to over there. But Paul says this, I want you to hold fast to the teachings, the ordinances that I've taught you. I want you to remember what I've told you. I want you to remember what I taught you as 18 months as your pastor. I want you to remember those truths. I want you to remember those things. I want you to remember those ordinances. I want you to remember this as I get into this principle. The very structure and nucleus and teachings of God's word is under attack today. Flip on the television for a moment. Do you know your parents, your grandparents have told you that as a believer and one that is saved, there are certain ways that you ought to talk? That's an ordinance. That's something that's been passed from one generation to another generation. And that ordinance is based upon principles in the word of God. And that tells you, hey, this is how a child of God ought to talk and how a child of God ought to act. And there's an ordinance and there's a principle that's been given and passed from generation to generation, from generation to generation. And it's a principle found in God's word. But you know what's under attack today? That a believer can talk any way they want to talk. Let me tell you, my mouth is to be used to the praise of His glory. Because whatever I eat, whatever I drink, whatever I do, as we looked at last week, is to be to His glory, to glorify Him. My speech ought to glorify God. And the ordinance and a principle that we have to understand that is being under attack today is our speech. I want to tell you this morning, my mouth ought to be used for God. I was just talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about how they can't believe what words kids use today. How kids talk, and how certain words that you and I would just sit back and just shake that someone would even use coming out of kids 10 or younger. Words that were once that even adults would never use out in public. It was something that people could not believe that someone would say in a store. And you were just appalled by it. Is now something that young people are using. And it was interesting that even someone observed someone else at another setting of a father talking to a child that was probably 10, 11 years old using a certain word that you and I would hopefully never use ourselves and talking back and forth with this child like it's common language. Wait a second. You know, there's an ordinance, there's a principle that's been passed on that's under attack about the speech. Now, I've shared this before. I'm not perfect at this. But one thing that helps me to make sure my speech is right, I've told my kids this. You can use every word that you hear me say. And what that does for me is to make sure that every word out of my mouth is something that I won't be offended by or shamed by that my kids use. I tell you, I'm very careful. Those have been around, I'm very careful what I say. Because I don't want my kids saying things. Now, there's some words that may not be bad words, but I think they have a connotation that is not what becomes a believer. And we need to be careful what protrudes out of our mouth, what comes out of our mouth, glorifies God. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. And as I follow Christ, remember what I taught you. Remember the truth of what I've given you. Remember those ordinances that I give you. You look back and you see some of the ordinances Paul gave. He gave about speech. You look at in his letters, he gave about speech. But he also gave ordinances and teachings about how they ought to live. Not just speech, but their daily walk. Remember in the very beginning of 1 Corinthians, we talked about walking. And he talked a lot about walking. He gave in that letter those ordinances, that teaching that he taught them as their pastor, how they ought to walk as a believer. He says, remember those truths that I've given you. How should a believer walk? Paul told them to walk worthy of their vocation. Walk worthy of their calling. Walk worthy of who has saved you. I want us to be reminded this morning, as we follow Paul's example, as Paul follows Christ's example, as we remember the truths and the ordinances he's given us, and we're to live that out in our lives, we're to walk worthy of our vocation, of our calling in Christ Jesus. The church of Corinth had to be reminded that they needed to walk a certain way, and their walk was to be different than this world's walk. You see, I am a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, at one point in my life, I was a child of wrath and disobedience. But there was a time in my life, but God showed his grace upon my life. There was a moment in my life, as a young child, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And as I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and received him, he saved me. And when he saved me, he changed me. And I became his child. And I need to walk worthy of being his child. Because when people see me, they need to see my Father. They need to see the example of my God. They need to see him. And I got to walk worthy of that. Now, I want us to understand this. We all have a last name. Now, back in the day, last names had more importance than they do now. And I understand first names had importance as well. But last names did because it gave what family you were a part of. And that family heritage and that passing on was very, very important. Now, if you look up, the Bliss name is a very important name. You can trace back to the Mayflower, the Bliss name. The first Bliss in our line comes all the way back from the Mayflower. And it comes all the way up to me and then passes on to my kids. If we look, and before all this DNA stuff and all these ancestries and all this thing, there is actually, my dad has, volumes of books that were written about the Bliss line. That's how important that name is. Didn't you know you have royalty standing before you this morning? And that name is passed on. It's not Tedeschi, by the way. And that is passed on. And that name is passed on. The name is important. And at one point, what did people want? They wanted to make sure that their next generation had a boy to carry on the name. And then that generation had a boy to carry on the name. It was important that that name would continue. That name was important. My Grandpa Bliss wanted a boy to pass on the name. My dad had sisters and no boys. When my mom had my sister Heather first, he was disappointed because he wanted a boy to carry on the name. He came to my mom And my grandpa was a drunk. But he came to my mom and said, if you give me a boy, I'll stop drinking. My mom had no design over that. God did. But I was born, and my grandpa stopped drinking and never drank again for 40-some years till the Lord took him home and he finally got saved later in his life. But that name was important. And I remember when I had Kinsey, my grandpa was disappointed. Because he wanted a boy to carry on that name. And then I had Ethan, the golden boy. Now, my grandpa didn't do much for anything, but he found out Ethan liked cats. And he shipped out like 50 of those Beanie Baby cats to Ethan because Ethan was the boy that was going to carry on the name. And then shortly before Grandpa passed, we had Elijah. And he told me this. He says, I can now go to heaven because there's two boys to carry on my name. And now he's probably rejoicing in heaven because there's three boys to carry on his name. And because that was important, that name to be carried on, that name to be given on. Do you know we have a name that we're to carry on? We have a name that needs not to stop with this generation. That name needs to continue. And that name is the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to pass that name on from this generation to the next generation to the next generation. We need not to stop. We need to keep passing it on because it's important that we're living a life that is pleasing in His sight. He says, follow me. So follow Christ. Remember what I'm teaching you. Remember these ordinances. Remember these truths. Remember this comes from God. This is what God wants you to get a hold of and live out in your life. He also wants them to see, as we look at this idea of following God before we get into the principle given here, He wants them to understand that you're to walk a certain way, you're to live a certain way, but that your purpose in life is not about you. So when you realize it's about God and not about you, the principle He's going to give doesn't matter. Did you get that? He says, it's about God, living for God. And when you and I get a hold of it's about living for God, any principle stated in Scripture really doesn't matter. When you realize I'm living for God, I love God, I want to serve God. So if God says this is how it needs to be done, I don't care. I'm just going to do it because it's about Him and it's not about me. Wow, if we could get a hold of that in our lives, if we could get our kids to get a hold of that, if our kids would just realize the principles we give them and the things we give them, they should just do because they love us, wouldn't that make a difference? And they just get a hold of that. And Paul says, guess what? When you realize it's not about you, that it's about God, you'll do whatever God asks you to do. You'll do whatever He wants you to do. You're not going to question it. You're not going to say, well, that doesn't make sense in my mind. I'm trying to logic this together. I'm trying to understand God's design. Why did God design it that way? I think it'd be better this way. I think it'd be better if the lady runs the house. I think it'd be better if the child runs the house. I think it'd be better this and that. Why did God design it this way? And He's saying, before we get into this principle, He's saying, you know what? If it's about God, it doesn't matter what you're told. You're just going to say, yes, Lord, and do it. You know what we need to do in our lives? Lord, this is what You said, and I'm just going to have faith, and I'm going to trust You that You know what You're doing, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to live it out in my life. It is interesting, as I've studied out Scripture, and I've looked at things, and you've been around long enough, and you study out Scripture, and you've seen things. When it's done God's way, it always seems to work. When it's not done God's way, it always seems to fall apart. Now, Let me give some practical illustrations of this morning. As you think about this, and no way, no how am I trying to call anyone out, but I want you to think about this. There are certain things in your life that you know God has told you what you ought to do. But in our minds, we say, it can't work that way. I don't have enough faith to do that. It's basically what we're saying. Because if God says this is how it's done, guess what God's going to do? God's going to take care of it if you do it God's way. If you do your giving the way God says, God's going to take care of it. Why? Because God says, have faith and trust me and do it. God says, this is how you raise your family. And if we raise our family that way, guess what? God's going to take care of it. God's going to be faithful. God's going to do it. It doesn't matter what it is. We follow God because that's God's design. That's the way God wants it because it's not about me. It's about God. It doesn't matter if I can understand it, if I can logic it, if I can figure it out, if I can do it, if it makes sense on paper or not, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to follow God because I'm following the principles of God's word. And it doesn't matter what I think or what this world has told me or how this world's trying to change God's word, how this world's done this. Do you know some of the ordinances and principles of God's word has been changed by this world, and Christians have adopted that and said, well, I need to have that philosophy. No, that's not what God's word says. So I want us to think about this morning. There's a principle given in God's design. He's going to talk about the role of the woman, the role of the man, in the home, in society, and in the church. Do you know many people have their mind made up already before we even get into this principle, what our view is? Now, nowhere in this principle does it say the woman is not important. Nowhere in this principle does it say the woman needs to be a stepping stone. Nowhere in this principle does it say that the woman is worthless. But there's a proper role for a woman. There's a proper role for the man in the home, in the church, and in society. But I already know that I, as a woman, have my rights. Haven't you heard, preacher, about women's rights? Haven't you heard about the feminist movement? Haven't you heard that I can do whatever a man can do? Haven't you heard that the reason we've had to do this is because a bunch of those men are a bunch of worthless people that can't live the way they ought to live and do what they ought to do? Don't you know? Don't you know what Scripture says? Again, the woman is important. The woman is not worthless. The woman is not any of those things we mentioned. But God has a design and a purpose. But we have our minds made up. Wow, this is 21st century. We can have this type of home. And we can have this person and that person together. No, God's created in a home for a man and a woman to be together in a home. That's God's design. Well, preacher, you got to understand that it's okay to do it differently. No, it's not okay to do it differently because that's not God's design. That's not God's ordinances. That's not God's principles. That's not what God's taught. Well, it's okay, I'm just going to be one of those dads that let my wife rule the house. Let me tell you, that's not God's design. That's not God's purpose. That's not what God has put together. That's never going to work. It's going to crumble. It's going to fall. You see, if I understand and remind of the truth that I want to follow God and I want to live for God, I want to please God, I'm going to do it the way God has designed it. God has designed a home a certain way and to function in a certain way. God's created even this universe, this creation, to function in a certain way and to work together in a certain way. And it comes together according to His plan and His purpose. And as a believer, I follow God. And if I'm following God, it doesn't matter what the principle is. It doesn't matter what philosophy I already have in my head. and what I've been brainwashed from this world about. I look at it, God's word, and says, this is what God says. And if God says this is the way it ought to be, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to question it. Are you following God? If you're following God, you'll follow his principle that he gives. Next week, we'll get into the principle that's stated. He's going to give the principle stated. He's going to give the principle defined. And he's going to give the principle in harmony. And we're going to see those truths carried out in that scripture. And we're going to look at those principles. But we said all this week to get us in the right mindset to see what God has to tell us about the home and our design. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a desire to follow God and follow God's word and follow what God wants you to do, not what this world is trying to tell you to do? Let's do it God's way and see God's blessing come upon us. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word.